This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Our next guest is Andy Butler. Good morning to you, Andy.
Andy, yes, thank you so much for having me.
What a great voice you have.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Andy, you are a writer, you're an artist and you're a curator, and you are particularly interested in the question of racism and diversity in the arts.
Yes, in the arts and more broadly, the dynamics of structures of racial power in Australia and the history in Australia and how they continue to shape culture and cultural production, and specifically in contemporary art is sort of my main area of expertise, but more broadly thinking about the history of race in Australia.
Because, you know, we look, much as we don't want to give any airtime to that knuckle-dragging bigot, Senator Fraser Anning, who flies his family around the country more than any other member of Parliament, but then again, he does have to protect those 19 above-the-line votes he got in the last Senate election. The sort of things that he has said and others are saying, I mean, apart from the fact we find them deeply offensive, what actually offends me about them most is the amount of people, unfortunately, that seem to be listening to it and that seem to agree with it. That's what really disturbs me. There's always,
I'm not sure that that is the case, Macca.
Well,
but I want to hear what Andy's got to say about that.
So obviously, like, can absolutely condemn everything that Fraser Anning has said. I think he's really vile. And at the same time, yes, only received 19 votes above the line, but, you know, the processes were in place for him to be pre-selected.
Exactly.
The party that it was pre-selected into, under Pauline Hanson, she has now distanced herself from him. And I think...
Well, that was this week.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, I think that, you know, we should be very loudly condemning those sorts of views that are, you know, publicly and explicitly said in the public sphere. But at the same time, I feel like we need to be careful in the way that I feel like now... people within Parliament are now using people like Fraser Anning as a measuring stick for how far away they are from those sorts of far-right views. And I feel like you saw the same dynamic happen in the 90s with Pauline Hanson when she was voted
in the
same year that Howard was voted in. And he, you know, refused to condemn her for the first 6 months she was in Parliament, even though she was openly racist. And, you know, this, a similar dynamic happened where obviously the Liberals really distanced themselves from Pauline Hanson at the same time as normalising the sorts of views that she held, until last year we saw someone like Tony Abbott launching her book.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, these...
Saying it's okay, yeah, look, we haven't always agreed, but it's all right, it's a book and, you know, it's like, I wouldn't stand up on the stage with Rudolf Hess.
Yeah, no, I feel like the dynamics that are happening now are incredibly disingenuous, where the coalition that has had racialized immigration policies and has advocated for them, you know, sort of tries to distance themselves from Fraser Anning when really they're trying to use...
It's pretty hollow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty hollow. They're trying to use someone like him to make themselves seem more moderate when they're really not.
Where actually both sides, Labor and Liberal, are piss weak. They're saying, we are going to vote, we're going to have a censure motion, which means nothing, right? Other than the Senate will vote and the majority of the votes will be, you're censured. If they're serious that this man is not an acceptable person to have in the Parliament because of his views, it's really simple. Labor and Liberal both say, okay, when there is legislation before the Senate, if Fraser Anning is voting for it, one of us, from the government or the opposition, regardless of how we're voting, will vote against it to neutralise his vote. If they were serious, they would do that. But you know what? They're actually not, because
Andy,
they're using him
think?
As a benchmark.
I feel like this is a really important discussion to have, but I feel like the more fundamental One of the really fundamental issue is that Australia has a really long history since colonisation of having explicitly white nationalist policies.
Yeah.
Our country was founded on a white nationalist policy that tried to engineer a white country, and we're still living in the shadows of that. And I think a really interesting example is Fraser Anning's maiden speech. He called for a pre-Whitlam immigration policy, which is a white Australia policy. Everybody condemned him. Jos Frydenberg condemned him. All, you know, Malcolm Turnbull condemned him. People came together at the same time at the same time Malcolm Turnbull was trying to push through English language test
for citizenship
and funnily enough the white Australia policy was founded on an impossible language test and so you know we're having all of these particular these discussions on these things that are, these really horrible incidents of racism that we see in Australia. But at the end of the day, structurally, there are things in place that are allowing this to happen and just sort of, jumping on this one, incredibly horrible incident. Oh, yeah.
So what are you saying, Andy? Are you saying that this structural racism is actually part of our DNA as an Australian people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this isn't like pointing at any single person in this room or like any of these listeners and saying that you're, people listening to this are racist people. That's not necessarily the case. I think there's a huge difference between structural racialized distribution of power that we have in this country and individual acts of racism. And Fraser Anning, absolutely a racist. He is such a racist. But I'm sure there are people in Parliament, maybe like Scott Morrison, who I think is a horrible person, but has actually been pretty sensitive about the way that he's spoken in the past week. And maybe he doesn't wholeheartedly believe that he's superior to other people based on race. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But his actions certainly do speak to racialized power, and his party function within a system of racialized power.
Okay, so racialized power is a term that you've used a number of times.
Yeah.
Unpack, tell us what that means.
So I guess the easiest way to think about it in an Australian context. So there was a study done in 2016 that was revisited in 2018, the numbers hadn't changed, where they looked at over 2,000 people who held positions of power across business, law, academia, politics in Australia. 95% of those people come from a white Anglo or European background. 95%. When you get to Parliament, it's 99%. 24% of people in Australia come from a non-European background. Like, how does that make sense in Australia? And it also, and so my specialty is also the arts, but, thinking about the arts and media, the very sectors in Australia where we tell stories about ourselves, where we reflect images back of ourselves, there's that same cultural homogeny there. And that's why I talk about racialized power, because, in a country like this that has had non-white people here since, non-white, non-Indigenous people here since the arrival of the British, before the White Australia policy, the Chinese coming here in great numbers in 1850s, and then with the Eureka Stockade being pushed out, trying to push out of the gold fields, that there has been a concerted effort from people in power to distribute their power along lines of race that still happens today. And we can see, we can see the statistics. It still happens in places of power in Australia. There's still a distribution of power along lines of race.
Andy, great discussion. So where to and what can we do about this? We haven't got long, but I would really love to hear what you have to say about what we can do.
I think that people are looking for really short-term sort of solutions to this thing, and I just don't know whether there are any really short-term solutions. But I think in the in the wake of a horrible incident like Christchurch last week, we really do need to come together. But at the same time, recognise that there are incredibly deep and difficult discussions that we need to have in Australia about fundamentally who we are as a people.
That's exactly what it's about.
You know what I'd like to... I agree with you. What I'd like to remove from the Australian character is this preoccupation with race in terms of the power structures. And I'd actually like to remove religion from the discussion too, because the more you look at conflict, the more you see religion as part of it, and race is part of that. The one thing, if we remove one, or if we try to resolve one and not the other, we're just creating another problem. And I think they're actually interlinked.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know enough about the religious debate to be able to comment on it. But I feel like in terms of what you just said about race, I'm not sure if I wholly agree with you. Because I feel like in, you know, previous iterations of discourse about race, people have talked about being colorblind, about not seeing race, about not believing in it. But at the same time, even though biologically it doesn't exist, it's a fallacy. The social reality is that race has an impact on people in society.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that we actually need to lean into it and talk about it more and talk about it openly and have very uncomfortable discussions about it.
I wholeheartedly agree with you.
What I mean is to remove it as an issue that people...
It shouldn't define who we are. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it shouldn't define.
No, absolutely not.
And you know that at the end of the day, I'm not a religious person, but we're all God's work. So, you know, if you subscribe to a belief, well, you know, read it a bit closer and you might find that you're wrong.
Now, Andy, we are out of time, but you are quite a prolific writer from what I understand. You write for The Monthly, you write for the Saturday paper, you write for a number of interesting... So, you know, I would encourage our listeners to look you up, Andy Butler. You also are an artist and you have a show on at the moment that you've curated.
Yeah.
Just quickly tell us, what is it and where is it?
So I've curated an exhibition called Those Monuments Don't Know Us out at Bundoora Homestead Art Centre in Bundoora.
Oh, yes.
We live at 7 Prospect Drive, Bundoora.
I love the address.
BunduoraHomestead.com. It's a group exhibition of Australian artists in a 19th century colonial mansion that really do question the ways that, you know, the white Australian identity is at the heart of a lot of issues around identity that are being discussed in contemporary art practices today.
Sounds great.
Good on you.
Andy Butler, thank you very much for coming to the studio this morning. It's been a pleasure. Great to have a conversation with you.
Thank you.
Let's do it again sometime and keep up the great work.
Thanks.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.